Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello!
Hello!
Two things. Firstly, sorry we're late.
Yes, sorry about that.
It's due to circumstances. Mm. Thing number two, it's on. It's happening.
So exciting.
We are putting our little live show. Are you worried that it's too soon?
Too soon? Too soon to what?
Well, that we're not giving people enough notice.
Oh, yeah, that did cross my mind. But then I thought, if anyone's like me, they've got nothing planned. I think it's all right. I did. For some people, it will be too soon. It will be. But for some, it'll be fine.
But and we did, you did a little bit of market research, didn't you?
I put my fingers in the waters and the waters were hot.
What sort of things were people saying?
They're pleased. They're excited. They wanted to come.
I know the expectation.
Well, there were some suggestions that we all wear name badges with just the word anon. There were lots of excellent suggestions.
Yeah, I think maybe we should also have special lanyards for people that don't make eye contact with me.
Oh yeah, no small talk.
No,
yeah,
small
that was suggested. No small talk badges.
Yeah.
I could sell some merch at the door. Yeah. Let's see if I can get some pallets of stuff.
So talk to us about. So firstly, I should say it's happening on Sunday the 18th.
Yes, the date that we'd already said.
Yeah, so 2 weeks on Sunday.
Is it that soon?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh right, that is quite soon. Okay.
Yes. And then secondly, do you want to tell people about where it is?
Oh, hello.
Oh, I got a text message from my wife.
Oh, lovely. What does it say?
Oh, call me when Annabelle leaves.
Okay, great.
I think she wants to say some things about you.
Oh, do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
To slag me off.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to know where it is?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to tell you where it is. It's at the Drum Labs.
The Drum Labs? Where's that?
Well, it's on Curtain Road.
Oh, in sort of Shoreditch, Hoxton in London.
Nearest train stations are Liverpool Street, Old Street and Shoreditch.
That is a very well-connected venue.
Extremely well-connected. Excellent area, excellent location. Should be okay for most people to get to. Sorry if you're very far west.
What a great part of the city to be in a Sunday, though.
Yes, yes.
Because if you made a day of it, you could go to Columbia Road Flower Market.
Yeah.
You could go to Brick Lane.
Yes.
Spitalfields Market. There's a lot of stuff going down there on a Sunday, isn't there?
Mm.
It's like a really great place. Lots of good places to eat. Because what we've done is we've scheduled it so the doors open at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably you maybe get there a bit earlier than
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. But the you know, we'll do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll record the show like 3 till 4, 3 till 4:30, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to give you time to have a wander and maybe have a bit of an early lunch beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great part of town for it, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely. There's lots to do, lots of nice places to go and have something to eat, something to drink. You can have a little drinky poos afterwards, should you wish. There's a bar there.
Oh, great.
Yes, I'll be there propping it up.
Oh, I thought you can say pulling pints.
I could do.
You've worked as a bar person.
I have.
You?
I like working as it. It's a good, nice job. I enjoyed that.
Well, do you have a little wisecracks, little bits of bants?
No, but I enjoyed, well, back then you had to do the maths yourself. So I enjoyed having to do the maths myself. I enjoyed having to work out who was next. There was a lot of stuff having to go on in your head. You're very busy, very busy. I didn't enjoy the cleaning. That was the downside.
Right. Yeah. Mopping up spillages, yeah, that sorts of things.
Cleaning out ashtrays. That's how far back it goes.
Oh,
I did
God.
They'd have a paintbrush for the dedicated job. Disgusting.
I was just thinking as we were describing what people could do in that area on a Sunday, both before and after the show, a lot of the time. So say if Elton John announces a concert, he doesn't feel the need to... reassure people there are other things to do apart from the show.
What you're not liking is the idea that some might come all the way just for us. There needs to be padding.
Yes.
You're giving them the padding.
Exactly that. Yeah. But we'll have fun, won't we?
Oh, we're going to have a great time.
If you look in the episode notes for this show, there is a link. And we've set the price as low as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. To cover the cost and the venue and whatnot.
Yep.
So it's going to be £12, mm-hmm. which, you know, is more than we're worth, but less than most things cost.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm really looking forward to it. It's a long time since we did one of these.
So long.
If you want to see a man who's deteriorated, that's what you're going to see.
What about a woman?
Well, no, you're the picture of Dorian Gray. I mean, you've got the picture in the attic.
You'll see. You'll see.
Stage lighting.
I might
makeup.
Get a new dress. I don't know.
Are you going to wear
I'll
a dress?
I'll think about it.
Yeah. I might get a smock.
A smock. A new smock.
Like none of my clothes fit me.
Oh, Jeff. So,
this is exciting. Adrift Live. And we decided to call it the Adrift Tricentennial.
Because that's what it is.
Because it's going to be our 300th episode, which is what prompted it. Mm. We only realised this on the last episode. But you can't let a number have a couple of zeros in it like that and not mark it in
some way.
And
look what we've organised in a week.
Yeah.
Imagine what we could do in a month. Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
It has to be a week.
Here's what we could have done in a month. Exactly the same thing, only we would have left it till 2 weeks later.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we want to see you there, please.
Oh, desperately.
Amongst your fellow drifters and us. Like a little gathering of us, oddballs, misfits. It's like the island of lost toys, isn't it?
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah. So the Adrift Tricentennial, it's Shoreditch. Is it Shoreditch or Hoxton there?
I think let's call it Shoreditch.
Okay. It's both are fashionable, both are achingly cool, you know. 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Don't want to burst the little bubble.
We're going to go and do it in Peckham, though? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. So, Sarah popped round to your house in Snaresbury yesterday and she said she feels that area's really starting to happen.
Oh, does she think that?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about something, Sarah, coming round. So it was an unexpected visit. I did have about an hour's notice and I thought, shall I tidy the house so I'm not really mortified by how messy it is, or shall I watch Slow Horses? And I decided to watch Slow Horses.
Yeah, she said that it hadn't been messy. Tidied. Yeah.
I was really embarrassed.
That's what she wanted to text me about.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Oh.
Slow Horses is so good, isn't it?
Oh, I'm in love with it.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, that's a great thing to be watching, especially if you are a Traitors fan and you're in mourning for the end of the Traitors.
Yeah, which I am.
A thing I love on the Traitors is if you don't watch it, I'm not going to describe the whole nuts and bolts of it. But part of it is that a group of people are competing for a prize fund across the series. And in every episode, they do a task which can make that prize fund go up in value, right?
Mm-mm.
So Claudia Winkleman, who is the host, will tell them how much money they could potentially add in any given task at the beginning of it.
And she's very, very posh.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And she's super posh.
Yeah.
And she'll say, okay, guys, in this task, if you manage to complete it, you could add £4,000 to the prize fund. Just want you to think about that. That is a lot of money. And I'm watching it thinking, yeah, it is, yeah. But not to you, it isn't. There is literally no job Claudia Wickham would do for £4,000.
No.
Like if a a company phoned up and said, "Hi, will Claudia do a voiceover for us for £4,000? The agent would laugh at them. So there's something really funny about her going, "That's a lot of money." Mm. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't notice it if it went out your bank account. Quite probably, like the maximum amount of money they could earn across a series, you wouldn't notice that if it went out your bank account.
No.
And good on her.
And she does a very good job of pretending that's a lot of money to her.
I know. It reminds me of like when my nana like gave me 5p. So it's a lot of money, 5p. And I wouldn't want to seem ungrateful, but I'd also think, it's not.
No.
I'm glad you've given me 5p, but you know, I could get some chews.
Mm. Yeah.
Nothing else.
No.
Why do I have to pretend things are a lot of money when they're not? Well, it's a lot of money, that. But I'll tell you what, it's not a lot of money.
No.
£12.
In the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things, compared to what you paid to go to other shows.
For the joy it's going to bring you, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I might do. Maybe I could get Eugene to come and we could do like Stavros Flatley. Take our shirts off and do a fun dance.
You've got 2 weeks to practice.
Yeah, so it's not going to be happening that. So yeah, if you have a look at the notes of the show, or we'll put it on the Facebook as well.
And if you've emailed me, I'll send you the link in the email as well.
We'll bother you. We'll keep bothering you.
Can I also say that I know not everyone who said that they want to come will now come. There'll be some people who got giddy, said yes, and then they'll think, no, I don't want to come.
They got carried away.
Yeah, that will apply to a certain percentage of people. But I will say that I think more people said they wanted to come than can fit in that room. So if you do want to come, no dilly-dally.
Oh, yeah,
get
yeah,
get straight
yeah.
on it, because you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, okay, that's good. To try and scare them into buying tickets.
Honestly, it wasn't there.
I just think panic buy.
I think the people who were like most keen, what if they couldn't get them? I'd feel really bad about it.
I'll tell you who I feel bad for. Mm. Listen, we need to talk about this. Mm. If you're thinking of saying to somebody, "Oh, I've got tickets for this thing," just pick that person carefully.
Yeah.
Either bring a drifter.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, you might think, oh, they might like it, but you know, we're the ones who are going to have to deal with people stony faced thinking, why am I here? Who are these people?
50% of the audience. That's a lot. Just to bear in mind, that's a lot of people not finding us vaguely interesting.
I mean, it would be lovely if you brought the exact right person.
Yeah, yeah.
And they thought, it's like coming home.
Yes.
It's like when people go to church and find God.
It'll double our audience on the podcast. It'd be amazing.
I'm really looking forward to it. And if there's anything in particular you'd like us to do, explore,
yeah, we can
talk
take,
about
take requests, that's yeah. fine. Yeah.
And it's also good if you want to get that stuff in advance, or any questions or anything like that, because then we won't have to have the excruciating thing where you're worried about putting your hand up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know how we should start the show.
Go on.
Ask people to hug the person next to them.
No, everyone's got to stand up and say one fact about themselves. We're so cruel.
Oh, I have a little right. episode now. Oh. All right. So we'll see you there. The Adrift Tricentennial? Sunday, the 18th of February at the Drum Labs in either Shoreditch or Hoxton. Get your ticket now. We'll get two. Mm. All right. Shall we hear from the drifters?
Let's. First one's from Tiff. During Storm Isha, we ordered pizza. The delivery guy was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. I wanted to say cheers. What came out of my mouth was cheese. We locked eyes and I quickly closed the door. I'm on a roll because tonight, while dishing up dinner, I apologised to a chip as I threw it away because it had too many dark spots on it and I knew no one would eat it.
Oh.
We got to say sorry.
Yeah, of course you have, yeah.
And then you had to convince yourself that maybe it was going on an adventure and didn't want to be eaten anyway.
Of
and
course,
thrilled.
Yeah. It's a lone wolf.
Exactly. Let's go on to Hild.
And maybe it's going to meet the chip of its dreams.
Maybe. Yeah, it was all a good thing. So this is from Hild, bit of background from Hild. Am I saying this right? No, maybe Hilda. H-I-L-D-E.
Yeah, I think Hilda.
Bit of background, first of all. Long-time listener, i.e. binged all episodes last autumn.
Oh, thank you, Hilda.
First-time emailer. After listening to Fire, Crotch and Normcore, it was such a pleasure to see that Jeff had another podcast, one with almost 300 episodes nonetheless. To be honest, the binging might not sound too healthy, and in true drift of fashion, I had a bit of a burnout due to people-pleasing at work last autumn. Your voices were a help drowning out the unhelpful inner not-good-enough chatter while I slowly but steadily got back to my quite okay self.
Oh, that's so good. Like, what when Hilda eventually thinks, oh, this is just drivel, mm-hmm. and then stops listening, she'll remember in 10 years, remember when I had like kind of a bit of a breakdown and I just listened to that weird podcast?
Yeah, oh, God, that'll be a story time one day. Oh, stay with us. I knew I had to write in when you talked about hereditary drifterness or driftery posterity, because pretty quickly after I started listening, I diagnosed my mother as an absolute drifter. My father is probably the opposite. He loves spontaneous visits, can you imagine? Ugh. And chatting to strangers, the horror.
What?
Whenever we went on holiday, my dad already made friends before my siblings and I had even begun to reluctantly look around the campsite for kids our own age. My mother was quite patient, not wanting to ruffle any feathers in public, of course, but I have seen many furious looks and overheard annoyed conversations where she told my father off for his unacceptably social behaviour. The true bane of their marriage? Improper mug use. My mother is very specific when it comes to the mugs she drinks from. Tea needs to be served in a glass mug. Coffee goes in the smaller ceramic mugs. Larger novelty mugs are not drinking, but for holding pens. My father has no regard for my mother's preferences. Her annoyance about my father chatting to strangers or sticking around a friend's place too long is nothing compared to the look on her face when he, without any scruples, pours coffee into one of her glass mugs or tea into a ceramic mug. With my hate of spontaneous visits and chats to strangers, I am absolutely my mother's daughter. But when it comes to mugs, I'm not a purist like her. Oh. I'll have my coffee in a nice glass, no problem. I love novelty mugs. They are on the left of the bottom shelf of the mug cupboard, and I don't even mind drinking tea from them. Until last year, that is, when the illusion of being a mug-typical person got shattered. We visited Hamilton the musical on Broadway, and being absolutely obsessed with the musical, I needed to get a small memento. It was so busy at the merch stall, however, that I couldn't think straight. A mug seemed like a decent choice, right? When I got back to the hotel, I realised I could never drink from it. First, it was black, and I need to be able to see what I'm drinking. Mm. Also, and I cringe even writing about it, it has that matte finish that makes it feel kind of icky on the lips.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine it has the same effect on me as unvarnished chopsticks on Jeff. Mm. So I had to come to terms with the fact that even the mug part of the drifter diagnosis pertains to me. The good thing about a drifter mother with a thing about mugs is that I knew what to do with my unusable mugs. The beautiful black Hamilton mug now proudly holds my daughter's pens. And if you know Hamilton, you'll know that I'm not throwing away my mug.
Do you know Hamilton?
No, I've never seen it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. You did a good delivery of that, despite not knowing what it is.
Oh, I know what it is, but like, yeah, I haven't been to see it.
Well, you know that I'm not throwing away my mug.
Okay. Oh, very good, very good.
I just want to say, this is just between me and Hilda. Hmm.
DNA testing.
Hilda, between you and me, ignore him.
Send us yours. We want some more of these, please. Hereditary drifterisms. The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle,
yes,
what's happening on that Substack of yours this week?
Oh, yes. So this week I wrote about why I know that Ouija boards work.
Oh, I saw a clickbaity headline in my inbox.
Come on. Clicked on it, right? Not yet. No. You wasn't clickbaity. It's about my teenage obsession with Ouija boards.
Uh-huh.
And I found out some very interesting things about them. Very interesting. And there's some sciencey stuff about explanations. Ugh, science know it all. But I've got a little bit of proof that they do work, and I talk about that.
Okay.
That's on my Substack. Bit weird, quite normal. Annabelle Port, just Google that, you'll find it.
Maybe you could do a Ouija board at the live show.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
I can, yeah. Yeah. And do you have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
I do.
So adult. Adult.
I visited my parents at the weekend and we went to a restaurant on the Sunday for lunch. And I was very stressed out in the run-up to it because we'd gone to this same restaurant on Christmas Day. Now, I've never been out to eat on Christmas Day before. Have you? It's quite nice.
I might have done on holiday.
Okay. There's
some Christmases are spent away, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
So there was one Christmas spent at Sarah's parents' house, and it's a big sort of Jewish tradition on Christmas Day in the States to go for Chinese food and then go and watch film.
Mm.
And we went to this Chinese restaurant and there was a lady behaving, but it was the first year I spent Christmas with them, I think. And there was a lady behaving very erratically. It was like on a bench seat, a banquette seating next to me. I've got a feeling she was on a table on her own, but that doesn't quite seem right thinking about it. Anyway, long story short, too late, she soiled herself.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the one time
Whoa.
I went to a restaurant on Christmas Day,
somebody defecated
next to
that's
me.
That's quite the memory.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. What I liked most about it was that at the very start, they gave us all novelty Christmas headgear to wear, like sort of giant reindeer things,
like little
presents and stuff, while making it extremely clear that we had to give them back after and in no way we were to take them home. They made it very clear. Anyway, my dad, who'd booked the restaurant for Christmas Day, told me that there was a set menu which had one price for the adults, one lower price for children, and one substantially lower price for those 5 and under. It was a fraction of the price. It was tiny. My son is now 6, and my dad said, we're just going to tell him he's 5, okay? And this is very understandable that they'd pay less for him because my son basically eats like a bird. But the problem is that my son is a 6-year-old. And I don't know if you remember being 6, but you are very, very proud of your advancing years.
Of course, yeah.
You had quarters and halves and 3/4 to your age. He's so into the idea that older is better that he tells everybody that I'm 48 very proudly. As he's worked out that he's got the oldest mum of his peers at school and he thinks this is a good thing. He feels like he's like one at something. At what age do they start becoming ashamed of having an older parent?
Yeah, I think Jean's already at that age.
Oh,
or at least it's something to make fun of.
Oh,
old dad, he sometimes
really
calls me.
Because I've been kind of looking forward to that because then maybe he'll stop telling everyone how old I am. I thought I'd done an okay job of pretending to be the same kind of ballpark age as the other mums who are about 10 years younger. I put a lot of work into nodding along to cultural references that are a bit off for me, etc. But he's totally blown that. Anyway, 6, older is better. And when I tell him he's got to pretend to be 5 at the Christmas Day lunch, he's horrified and he's furious and he's not really interested in how it makes his set meal £50 cheaper.
£50?
It was so much cheaper. It was so much cheaper. But I persuade him and I coach him and it's a bit stressful. And I do wonder if it's okay that I'm coaching him to lie. But, you know, it's a useful skill in the future to be able to lie by your age.
Oh, yeah.
As it was.
Just to be able to lie full stop.
Yeah, yeah. As it was, when they checked his age at the restaurant on Christmas Day, they didn't ask him, they asked me. I don't think I lied very well, but I said he was 5 and they didn't ask for his birth certificate and he didn't say, no, I'm not. So, you know, it went as well as it could. But I wasn't expecting to go back a month later. And what if they tried to trick me into revealing the truth? What if they just asked him to humiliate me? I had every scenario rehearsed in my head. I could say, just turn 6, that could work. I could lie and say we'd never been there before. Am I always going to have to pretend that he's a year younger than he is? What I probably should have thought is, A, they won't remember us, and B, they wouldn't care about his age if they did. But I think this anxiety comes from an experience as a child when my mum took me and my sister to a hairdresser's. We're going back to the 80s now,
yes.
Long time ago. It was a Supercuts in Basildon. And there was a special offer for the under 12s. They either got a free haircut or it was half price. I can't remember exactly, but it was definitely a great offer. The only downside to this great offer was that my sister was 12. And the other big downside to this offer was that my mum and sister hadn't thought to pre-warn me about it. So it was just my sister getting her hair done. I was just tagging along because I was 10 or 11. And when we went to the till to pay, they asked my mum how old my sister was. And my mum said, oh, she's 11, which was wrong. Like, why had she got this wrong? My sister was 12. So I took it upon myself to correct my mum loudly.
No.
What? No, she's 12. Mum, she's 12. I don't know if I was literally tugging on her sleeve, but that's my memory. The hairdresser asked again, realising she was possibly in the midst of some serious fraud, and said, sorry, how old is she? She's 12, I said. Well, my mum and sister glared at me so hard, I've still got marks on my soul. She's 11, my mum said. what I'm thinking. I'm actually getting a bit upset now. I hadn't heard of gaslighting then, but if I had, I would have thought, am my mum and sister gaslighting me? Or am I going mad? What else have I got wrong if I don't even know my sister's age, who's just 18 months older than me? I was very confused and upset and completely bewildered, and I felt quite untethered by it all. I don't remember exactly what happened next, but I do know that my mum ended up having to pay full price, and I felt terrible when I discovered what I'd done. 38 years ago this was. How often do I still think about this? I'd say 4 times a year. But I won't be handing down misery on misery, which is why I have weekly coaching sessions with my son about when we go to that Italian place in Southend in future. His birthday is in early January now, and he's just turned 6. Unless we go for Christmas dinner again this year, in which case he's still 5. £50. And can I tell you something else? Exactly the same portions, exactly the same menu, £50 cheaper.
Wow.
I know.
You should get him to start smoking to stunt his growth.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh my God, I got up some weird public behaviour. I talked about this on the other podcast, but I think ultimately it might be a bit more relatable on this one.
Okay.
Although it's in a way it's quite undriftery. So Sarah and I went to the cinema to see the Emma Stone film, Poor Things, which we thought was great. We really enjoyed it. And then I didn't read anything about it beforehand, so I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. Mm. But I was aware there was some... a bit of controversy around it.
Mm-hmm.
So some people found it problematic.
Okay.
But I didn't know why.
Okay.
So we go and see it. We both love it. And then I say to Sarah on the way home, I think there's been a bit of controversy about it. So then we look up and there's, you know, there's I won't go into it. You can Google it.
Okay.
But there's a variety of opinions, so much so actually that I think The Guardian or The Observer this weekend did like 20 writers on their opinion of put, and it was very much 50-50.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, people have strong reactions to it. Anyway, we really enjoyed it. And I wasn't 100% sure if it was just because I'd left the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd got to go and
hard
do a
tell
thing.
These yeah, days, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
But we really liked it. And then the next day, we were doing a Zoom with somebody very clever who I admire a lot, like a Zoom meeting. And we mentioned that we'd seen it. And this person then started talking about all the things they didn't think were great about it.
Oh.
And very quickly, I found myself like rowing back on my opinions and going, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, maybe that is actually thinking about it. I think you're right there. Yeah. But then I saw another very clever friend on Friday who loved it, and I felt very assured of my opinions again.
You can enjoy it again.
Yeah. But I really, you know, when will I ever learn not to give an opinion until I already know what somebody else thinks?
You've got to be careful of these things.
Yes.
Very careful.
Yeah. Anyway, the odd public behaviour was... It was, yeah, going to the cinema is weird because, like, trying to cram in going for a meal and go to the cinema into an evening can be hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a lot longer. So what we think is, why don't we go to one of these fancy boutique cinemas with comfy chairs where the food isn't just popcorn and ice cream, where you can have some semblance of a meal?
Okay, yeah.
And some of them are lovely. You can get like a plate of hummus, halloumi sticks, proper plates.
Mm-hmm.
But nice. This one wasn't quite at that level. But, right. you know, there's some kind of cheesy focaccia bread and, I don't know, like pizza and vegan hot dogs. And there are options.
Okay.
So we go up to the counter and I say, oh, can I have one of those cheesy focaccia breads, please? She says, I'm sorry, we're out of that. So I get a little bit of a sulky face on, but I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
And then while I'm thinking what I'd like instead, Sarah says, oh, can I have the vegan hot dog? And they say, I'm sorry, we're out of that too.
Hmm.
Then she's got the sulky face and I've got my sulky face has intensified a little bit because two-thirds of the options of warm food are now gone.
Hmm.
So then said, oh, all right, then can we just get the margarita pizza? She says, I'm so sorry, the pizza is off too. At which point I realise that all the options that are available have got meat in them. And I'm vegetarian.
Right.
And we're both hungry people. Sarah is one of these people who gets what they call hangry.
Yes.
So she needs to eat every 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
She's just put something in there. You know, it doesn't need to be much, but she is...
Is it honestly that extreme?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
45 minutes?
Yeah. So I can go all day without eating and then I'll eat an enormous amount of food. Sarah has to eat little and often.
Wow.
So now we're both a bit moody because we know that we're not going to get any hot food. She's like, so there are no options that don't have meat in them then. And the young woman behind the counter is like, I'm really sorry now about that. She's like, well, you know, there's some snacks over there. We're like, all right then. And then we get into this behavior. It's so mad that we're so annoyed, like both annoyed that we're not going to get hot food, like a couple of toddlers who've had to deal with a change of plan, that we start, it's passive aggressively, like just piling up bags of crisps and snacks. Like, well, I suppose we'll have to have some crisps then, cheese and, okay, well, salt and vinegar. And then I see these like horrible snacks, which are some kind of dried cheese, you know, like vacuum-packed cheese. Right, we'll have that then. And then I see some
that's
vacuum...
our protein.
Yeah, that's like dried gherkins. Right, well, gherkins, I suppose we'll have those.
That's our vegetable.
And, well, we better have some sweets as well. Have this bag of sweets. And we end up piling up in a... such a weird passive aggressive. I would say between 6 and 8 bags.
No, like way more than you would have eaten.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. None of which we really want. Mm. But we're trying to make the point. Well, I suppose you've denied our dinner, so we're going to stick it to you by buying overpriced snacks. Like it in any way sticks it to her.
Yeah, you should.
Well, just what we're going to have to eat.
Oh, no.
We go into the cinema and we make such a commotion, like trying to sit down. I had a good idea for a cinema. Never mind boutique cinema. Yeah. What about this? I think this could be a money spinner.
Mm.
A cinema with somewhere to put your coat.
Oh, God, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then, like, during the film, it's... There's something about the film. Usually, if I've got a snack like that, I'm really good at judging when there's a loud enough noise for me to, say, open a bag of crisps.
Right,
or delve my hand into popcorn.
Mm.
But there was something about this film, certainly in the early scenes, where the silences were so silent that it felt like just the slightest rustle of a bag of dried gherkins. Just
that dehydrated cheese crunching around.
And then sort of during the silence. And also there'd been no acknowledgement either between me and Sarah that of what we'd just done. Okay. Like we'd just done a weird thing, but neither of us are not. We were both doing it, but independently of each other, like angrily buying snacks, like furiously buying snacks. So just like, what about those angry snacks then? Oh my God. What is wrong with us?
Did you feel ashamed?
I didn't feel full. I mean, as I say, we took 6 to 8 bags of snacks into the cinema. I would say we left with 5 to 6 bags of snacks. Oh, I might do what I saw somebody do once in the cinema. It was just like took a warm meal in tinfoil and containers.
Great. No. I'm not actually that keen on the idea of hot food in a cinema. Is that okay?
I know what you mean.
Because the smells.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good at not serving... Popcorn has a smell to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's a nice cinema smell. And hot dogs are just a traditional cinema food, aren't they? But like fried onions, I don't know. I'm very particular.
Mm. Mm.
Not with my house, though, as Sarah knows.
Quandary Corner at the Glapp Clinic here in Problematic.
Hey, first one's from The Secret Barber. Remember him?
I do remember The Secret Barber, yeah.
He. I was going to say he or she because it's secretive, but we know it's a he.
Yes.
I've accidentally backed myself into a bit of a corner with my landlord. For some context, and to cut a long story short, the landlord of the flat I've rented for almost 2 years is a lovely woman who, prior to me moving in, had made this flat her home for over a decade. I know she's lovely because the flat I previously lived in for a year before moving into this one was two floors below her in the same building, and she was a wonderful neighbour, always friendly, warm and welcoming. Because of this, though she's now my landlord, we have a fairly informal and relaxed relationship, and she always lets it be known I can message her about any issues I might have directly whenever, or drops me a line just to check in that I'm getting on okay. When I first moved into the flat, I had that common occurrence in these situations where I would still get delivered some of her and her partner's mail that they were yet to have sent to their updated address. Initially, I would make sure these got forwarded on at my earliest convenience, but between my two jobs, the relentlessness of everyday life, and being quite a haphazard fake adult at the best of times, over the last year, I've not managed to keep that up as effectively as I would like. While I don't think the things she's being sent are necessarily of vital importance, I've not opened anything, this is just a hunch, I do feel she should be getting mail that she's obviously subscribed to for a reason. But at times, I've amassed a small pile that's due to reach her, and in times where the brain fog takes over, I'm certain I've either misplaced some of her posts while tidying my flat, or just as likely completely thrown it out without realising. What do I do? Do I continue to send her on the pieces of mail I do have and hope then she doesn't wonder where the previous items of post she's been expecting are? Or do I have to bite the bullet and move to another flat despite really liking this one? Or do I adopt the port protocol and accept that whatever she hasn't updated her address on is now my mail to receive and immediately recycle? The anxiety I'm having over something I'm not sure she'll have even noticed, let alone be bothered by, is driving me mental. But the obvious fix now comes with an unspoken admission that I've lost or discarded of previous things she would have been due.
Okay.
First thoughts, please, Jeff.
First thought is like dump it over a hedge like or down near the canal or something like that. You know, like people who used to have those free paper rounds.
Can you just put it in the bin? Why has it got to be dumped over a hedge? It's like polluting the countryside. I don't think he even lives in the countryside.
I was just thinking that's what people used to do with free papers.
Oh, right.
You occasionally read newspaper stories about postal workers who... You know, it all gets a bit much for them and they start holding it.
Yes,
it's a bit like that, isn't it? Like, I think the key word in this is expecting. When you say that she might be expecting. I'm sorry, if you haven't lived in an address for that long, you should not be expecting any post. You know, that's just because you're sloppy with your admin.
I've got some thoughts on this.
Yeah.
So first of all, why hasn't she set up a redirect service?
Yeah.
Second of all, suggests that it's been over a year now, right? She doesn't want that post. She would have redirected. She would have noticed it and like got changed the address. I think I'm feeling this is her. She's lovely. I know. I can tell. But this is her problem, not yours now.
Yeah, I think so.
And you can't be expected to suddenly be organised. This is the thing. Do it when you can. Yeah. And I would do it when you can. But otherwise, don't worry about it. Don't stress out about it.
No, but say for example, there's a subscription to Witch magazine.
Mm.
It's the first thing that popped into my head because I think this happened to me.
Okay.
I subscribed in a frenzy.
Mm. Frenzy?
I would have wanted to know what type of dishwasher to get and then like signed up in a frenzy.
And then you end up getting something in a magazine you don't want.
And then I moved house and didn't.
I've done that.
So say for example she's done that and you've been to the last three.
Mm.
It is then weird to send on four because that might trigger the thought, where are the other ones? But I really think that even the act of forwarding any post to her is an act of kindness.
Yes. And I also think if she's paying for which is what, like $6.99 a month or something and not noticing it, she can afford some kind of butler to do this for her. Like,
it's
come
not
on.
About affording, Annabelle. Some of us have brains that don't deal with that stuff very well.
Okay. So she won't notice on her bank statement and think, oh, I better sort that out. She's looking at her
people
bank
look at their bank statements. Are you kidding me?
I'm not. But not, you get an alert on your phone like $6.99 went out or something.
People have that turned on.
I'm getting real insight here. Okay.
There is a thing actually, in all seriousness, there is a thing about the way in which those services, subscriptions, things you sign up for in some kind of frenzy are uniquely ill-suited to people with ADHD, for example.
Okay.
Because your brain isn't well equipped at keeping on top of that stuff.
Right,
at
right.
All.
So you're not able to.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
See, there you go. You can feel okay about yourself, can't you?
Yeah.
But I don't. You know. What not about that her? You shouldn't feel okay about yourself if, like me, you have a diagnosis of ADHD.
So what if she's got ADHD then and is spending a fortune on all these subscriptions?
It's not your. her thing to figure out. Okay. Not yours.
Okay.
You're not there. To like, I think in the here's what I think the rule is: first year you live somewhere,
yeah,
it's on you. Even though they should really have set up a redirection, but yeah. I don't know if some things slip through the net or whatever.
Okay,
after that,
I agree.
Recycle.
I agree. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's go on to the next one, which is from Benny. I have a quandary for you that is so problematic on so many different levels that I urgently need your wise guidance. In fact, so problematic that I will employ a variant of the port protocol, create pseudonyms for all involved, and pretend afterwards that the quandary was not even asked. Thus, given the urgency and sensitivity of the quandary, and of course Jeff's love of ABBA Voyage, the pseudonyms I've chosen for the four people involved in the quandary are Agneta, Bjorn, Annifrid, and Benny.
Great.
First, a bit of background. My wife, Annifrid, and I, Benny, live in a very small, very quiet rural village in central Wales. The sort of place...
just outside of Stockholm. On an island just outside of Stockholm.
The sort of place where everyone knows everyone else and all the goings on in the village.
Mm.
Annifrid and I have lived in the village for over 20 years. She is very much a drifter and took many years to get to know any of our neighbours. However, about 6 or 7 years ago, Agneta moved into the village.
Hmm.
She is incredibly outgoing personality, loud, very friendly to everyone, even complete strangers. Most definitely not a drifter. The three of us became friends. We get on really well, have even gone on holidays together, and we regularly meet up for dinners and drinks. So far, so good. However, about 2 years ago, Agneta met Bjorn. They are both in their mid-50s and clearly looking for a long-term relationship. Bjorn is arguably the most drifter person I have ever encountered.
Okay.
Uncommunicative, distant, mumbling, and clearly has social anxiety issues. He also has some personal habits, especially the release of bodily noises and aromas that challenge what is acceptable in polite society.
Better out than in. He's a nonconformist.
I also suspect he listens to Adrift. Hence the need for an anonymity.
Uh-huh.
Bjorn is simply the complete opposite of Agneta. Why are they together? What does she see in him? They seem to argue all the time. That, though, is not the quandary. Now, of course, my wife and I have been out many times for dinner with them, which leads me to the quandary itself. At our most recent dinner, Bjorn got so drunk he passed out at the table.
I really love him. Wherever this is going, I'm siding with Bjorn.
Oh, God. Bjorn got so drunk, he passed out of the table, or so we first thought. However, he seemed to wake up briefly every 20 minutes or so, belch and fart, then fall asleep again.
I love the person I want to be if I wasn't alcoholic.
During one such intermission, while Bjorn is apparently asleep, Agneta turns to my wife and I and asks, very loudly, the dreaded question. Do you think Bjorn and I should get married? So the quandaries are thus. Whenever the should we be married, should we be together question arises, do you ever tell the truth? Is there a standard response that can be used instead? In this particular situation, given there is every chance Bjorn is not asleep and is listening to the conversation, how should we have responded? Your guidance is doubly needed as Agneta is the type of character who would probably propose rather than wait for Bjorn to do the asking. Given Agneta is a good...
And is it a leap year?
It is a leap year. Given Agneta is a good friend and, of course, nobody thinks they should be together, is the decent and correct thing to do to tell the truth? Of course, Anifrid and I fudged a great guy up to you, of course, type answer at the time, then adopted the port protocol and pretended subsequently the question was not asked. Whenever we see Agneta, please help. All the best, Benny.
Well, well, well. I mean, I think they should be together.
Oh, you're just in love with him. They don't belong together. Obviously, Bjorn's a great guy, but he doesn't belong with her. They shouldn't. They're not right together.
No, but you know, you mustn't ever say that.
Never.
No, never.
Really?
Yeah. I think that, you know, the closest to honest you can ever answer that question is, I think if you're canvassing other people's opinions, there might be something to think about there.
Yeah. Oh, and so how might you say that to somebody? That's quite hard. You can think that, but how do you say that? Could you say, well, that's so interesting you ask. Are you asking because you're unsure? And if so, why are you unsure? I just did it. That was good. Right?
Know, that was amazing.
That was all right, wasn't it?
Somebody's been watching a lot of couples therapy.
That was good. I'm proud of that. They should do that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I would say push her to ask again. Repeat what I just said, which I can't remember. Mm. And then take it from there.
I would say people like Bjorn don't come along very often.
That's true.
Is that a good thing?
Or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing. That's for you to decide.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe I'd sing Listen to Your Heart too. That's Roxette, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, right country, different band.
What you can't do is say, no, he's an awful man, because if they do get married, it's totally like you've lost your friend.
Yeah. I mean, I would just try and glibly dismiss it with a, yeah, do it now.
I like that.
Yeah, do it now.
Don't take it seriously. And then, yeah. So in the way you're giving the message, you don't take the question seriously. Mm. So you're sending her a very discreet message that you're humouring her.
Or you could go, no, treat him mean, keep him keen.
Oh, that's good as well. Yeah, make a joke of it. Benny
and Anifrid are married, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so you could say, wouldn't recommend marriage.
Yeah.
If I could have my time over again.
Maybe not that.
Yeah,
not
I think that. Glibly abdicating yourself of any kind of responsibility.
Yeah, it's their problem, not yours.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you get to have the amusement of him falling asleep, waking up, belching and farting, falling back asleep again.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, the Adrift Tricentennial is happening in a fortnight's time, Sunday the 18th of February. Get your tickets. The link is in the description of this episode. We want to see you there, please. Special prize for the person who's come the furthest.
Oh, yes.
I'm not going to say what it is. And special might be stretching it.
Yeah.
And it might not happen if I forget that I said that.
Yeah.
Terms and conditions apply and all that. But please come to our show. We'd love to. It'll be fun to hang out. Yeah. It will. You know, obviously there'll be driftery awkwardness, but we will embrace that and make it part of it.
Yes.
And we want you to be part of it, please. The Drum Labs, Shoreditch, London, Sunday the 18th. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music. They're in my head at the moment because they've got a new song that sent me the other day, which is very good.
Oh, lovely.
Really good. And to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And that's all there is for this week. Cheers. Annabelle. Somebody answered your call.
Yes.
For podications.
Yeah, we've got a few this month now. Okay. Nice.
Well, this one comes from James Harper, who says, hi, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hi.
I've been listening for a very long time, since the early days of...
What? Oh, God, I know what it is. Drunk versus Stoned. Enough time's passed, so I can do that again.
Yeah. I'd like to dedicate this podcation to my awesome wife, Laura. Our son is 7, like yours, Jeff, I believe. That's right, yeah. Hmm. So there's no way of him passing for 5, unfortunately.
No.
We've been married 12 years. Laura has had lots of health issues, which have made life interesting, with 2 ACL operations, also having allergies to things. And over the last 2 years, she's had 2 severe seizures. That's a lot to be dealing with for your family, James. Though now she's had a good 6 months with no health issues. Congratulations. Laura will have her 40th birthday by the time the 2nd of February comes. It's tomorrow as Congrats. We speak now, isn't it? Yeah. Laura is a passionate hospice advanced nurse practitioner and is great and tremendous at what she does. Oh, my God. I mean, I just feel instantly humbled by somebody who can do that job.
Yeah.
I mean, it just... I mean, maybe Laura could correct me, but I can't imagine you can do that and not be a wonderful person.
I'm sure, yeah.
Incredible. Well, I hope your 40th... Well, I didn't love my actual 40th birthday, but I didn't mind turning 40 at all. In fact, I think I quite liked it.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We got the full range, full range of experience there. Laura, pick one. I'm really sorry. Like, you've had a kind of rough time with it, with all the health stuff. It makes life hard, but it sounds like hopefully you're in a good phase, or maybe this is it. Maybe it's good forever now.
Hope so.
So there we go. I hope you have a fantastic birthday. And that's the latest edition of the podcast, podicated from James Harper to Laura. Happy 40th. And if you'd like a podication, the email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.